This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's Commissioners Baltimore with Ed Norris. He's fighting with his headphones right now.
You need help, Dad? Let me scoot over here.
He's gonna blow!
Sorry.
Could someone go to the front door?
Yeah, I got it.
Thanks. Yeah. Judge Nicole Pastore is here. I want to talk. Anyway, we're going to talk about what she's this graduation she's got. It's a great program that's run by her, and it's one of the things.
It's mean mugger when she comes in.
It's just, you know, it's one of those things I really like because I, as you know, despite the fact I was a police chief, I don't believe in mass incarceration. I don't think that helps anybody. Certainly doesn't help society. And I just think the alternatives to that are a much better way to go.
She just dropped the that's what she said on the way in.
What?
I said, you got to push the door hard. I said, push it hard. And she goes, that's what she said. So we're already friends. Drop a Michael Scott reference.
Oh, good morning, Your Honor.
Hey, hi.
What do you say to attorneys when they're late for court?
Sorry, I wasn't really late. I was standing out in the cold. No, thank you. Thank you for accommodating me.
Well, I just was introducing kind of vaguely what is going on and what you do. But I think it's important for people to hear it. I think it's a great alternative to incarceration for a long term. But, you know, I just believe in alternatives. Just want to go quickly through, you know, the history and what you're doing this week.
So we are at our 11th graduation. This year, Femi Iambadejo is going to be our guest speaker from the Ravens for the graduates. It looks like we're going to have about 15 people. And basically, we started after the April 2015 unrest when a lot of our defendants in the courtroom were saying that they were dealing or involved in illegal activity because there were no opportunities for individuals with criminal records, which, as you know, Ed, that is an issue. Hiring
yes.
People that actually have a record.
It's a life sentence, and this is what pisses me off with people. And I particularly do this but my conservative friends. It's like, and I consider myself one of them. I'm like, you can't do this. And they dig their heels. I don't want any felons working it. Yeah. Okay. Well, they're going to need money. So where do you think they're going to get it if they can't get employment anywhere, ever?
How are they supposed to rehabilitate themselves?
They can't.
You can't.
You can't be part of society if you can't work. I mean, it's just a fact.
And what do you do when you can't work? You find other ways to make money.
I said they're going to stick a gun in your face. We'll break into your house. That's what happens.
That's the biggest problem we have is reemploying gun offenders. And not every gun offender is the person that's involved in the armed carjacking out on, you know, North Avenue on 25th Street. It is literally somebody that maybe was having the gun to protect themselves where they were, saying that that's the right thing to do. But then after they mess up and they serve a year in jail, they realize, okay, I can't go this route. But now they have a gun offense. So I have one graduate, that's his situation. And he said to me, I was talking to him yesterday on the phone, he said, this wasn't my path. I'm 24 years old, and this was not my path to do this. So he served a year in jail. He's backing up 2 more years to me because the maximum you can have for a gun offense is 3 years. So I did 3 years, suspend all but one. He's now working with serious mentally ill patients in a rehabilitation center. And the lady, his employer that I spoke to yesterday on the phone said, Judge, we'll take more gun offenses. It is so hard for us to employ anybody that will work with the mentally ill population that we can overlook backgrounds. She said, I have about 5 more spots. So just hearing that yesterday, I'm like, okay, great. We have something. And now this gentleman said to me, he's like, Judge, I'm actually giving back. He's like, I'm working with people that are really tough. And it gives me that mental strength every day to say, my life isn't that hard looking at these people and what I'm dealing with. And here's somebody that who knows what would have happened if I would have just given him the 3 years, threw away the key, and then put him back out with nothing else.
It's weird, though. Like, is it just that they don't want to run for president or they're not 35 yet? No, I'm kidding. No, like, I mean, I think it is something ridiculous when you start talking about, like, bad things can happen to people. You can grow up in the wrong neighborhood. You can have the wrong people guiding you throughout. Like, why can't people change? And I, look, there's certain things that we look at in life, but I know this for a fact of, you know, I've talked about this story last time with buddies that have businesses and they're comparing, you know, you're getting compared to someone else. And it's like, well, this guy's a former felon and this one isn't. So I'm definitely giving this one the job, not knowing anything about him.
This is a great program. It's a tremendous program. The big problem is this. The reason many of those people are in that situation in the first place is because how they were set up initially.
Right.
So we got problems way before you get here.
Of course.
Some of those people probably have more opportunities to get jobs now after the fact than they did before the fact.
Right.
So
it's interesting, isn't it? It is.
Yeah. It is. So I think it's a wonderful program. It is totally necessary. Anything I can do to help, I will. But the greater problem is, how did they get there in the first place?
Well, we don't have time for that discussion because I'd like to do that for hours because nobody's addressing that.
Yeah.
Nobody.
They're uneducated when they get out of jail. Yeah. Well, that means they went in jail uneducated.
We graduate kids in high school who cannot read. They're illiterate. We're pushing them through graduation. They haven't been educated. You wonder why they can't work. That's another story.
And then you probably provide opportunities for them after the fact that they never would have had before.
Well, you know, it's funny. People will say, well, wait, there's all these job centers and career places they can walk into and build their resume and get a job. I said, no one's walking in off the street and doing that. But if they're in my courtroom and they're sentenced to work, if I say, look, it's a condition of your probation. And then I have people saying, how can you condition their probation to make them work? I said, well, that's already a standard condition to be employed or to be going to school. However, we condition people to mental health treatment, to drug treatment, to anger management. So
you can't condition them to work, though.
Right. Yeah. I mean, so it's their choice. If they don't want it, that's fine. Mm-hmm. They can serve their sentence.
Absolutely.
And trust me, there are people that don't want that opportunity and they say, nope, I can make more money doing what I'm doing. That's fine. That's fine. But if you're telling me you don't have the opportunity, I'm going to give you 17 organizations that we work with. Mm-hmm. I mean, places like Strive, Maryland New Directions, and then our private employers of Under Armour and the Atlas Restaurant Group. They all employ people with records. So we're lucky that we're building these relationships. And that's where I'm going to put my plug for anybody that's listening. If you are one of those employers that is willing to employ people with records, and I'm not saying they have to be gun cases, maybe you'll employ people with simple drug possession or theft, nonviolent offenses, please, please, please call our number and I'm going to give it, okay? 410-878-8503. That's 410-878-8503. We are the District Court Reentry Project for Baltimore City.
Thank you very much, Judge Pastor. You would have more time to talk, but you were late. So
I nearly won that game. Time about it. Look at these guys.
Oh my goodness! Wait, can I say one thing?
Go ahead.
Can I give my brother a happy 50th birthday shout out?
Yeah, it's 50th
birthday.
Was his birthday yesterday?
No,
I was thinking you were late for that too.
No. Oh my God!
This is unfair.
What's his name?
Mike Pastor.
Thank you very much,
Jack. Thank you,
you guys. This woman a hard time.
Ben McDonald Jones. I'm going to stop because I might end up in court one day. Ben McDonald Jones has an 8:30 put on his other side. Rob Manfred said on Tuesday that L.A. spending is good for baseball. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. So the commissioner of baseball says L.A. spending is good for baseball.
Loser.
I'm beginning to not like him.
I never liked him anyway.
You know what I feel like? I feel like Rick James. I'm sitting on the couch there. Darkness, come to me, come to me. Come to the dark side here. Because all of us hated, well, except you. You defended him.
I did.
Rob Manfred. Like, I hate coming in, calling the damn World Series a piece of metal. Oh, like, hey, we're close to getting negotiations done during COVID. Nope, we were not, because you guys could have started a month and a half before any other sport and just capitalized on it because the public was dying to want something.
Yeah, you could have been,
and you
could have rescued
that up.
Them.
I do think some of the superstars in this league have saved him, and I think him listening to some of the rule changes, which I do think has worked overall.
Yeah, I think I like the rule changes.
You know, the more and more I'm watching some of the stuff, there's some things that people aren't going to like. The ghost runner on second base, and I actually like when they...
That's still in existence.
I think the bases should be bigger.
Yeah?
Yeah, because I want to see like 175 bases stolen. So just make them another 6 inches bigger on each side.
Yeah, well, that actually would help. Because you're thinking of a fraction of a second most of the times that you're tagging a guy.
But are you being serious?
Of course I'm not being serious.
Oh, I was going to say.
The stuff with the pitchers facing three batters now, I think that's changed the game. There's a lot of
you
things.
You like it or
does.
You don't like it?
No, I like it.
See, and Jeremy, everything that you just named, you said was good for baseball, except for the ghost runner. There's a reason why I defended him, because I think, for the most part, he's represented the most positive change and the most progress that we've seen in baseball in generations. Because nobody in baseball was so archaic. It didn't look like modern-day society. It's starting to look more and more like a modern-day sport. But we do realize he works for the owners.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got to say what the Dodgers are doing is good for baseball. Because even though you may have guys like David Rubenstein who says, hey, we need a salary cap, David Rubenstein is the minority in that club. Because most of those owners...
Which surprises me, though. Because there's only a handful of big markets.
Right.
You're talking New York, Los Angeles, Chicago, to Houston... Rest of it is, it's made up of teams from Milwaukee and St. Louis and Baltimore and Tampa.
Hold on. Milwaukee may want a cap, but in order to have a cap, you got to have also what?
A floor.
And that's what they don't want.
Yeah, so they don't want to spend.
The other part,
they don't want to spend.
The other part that I think we're missing, too, is the revenue sharing. Some of these owners like getting that check cut to them at the end of the year. Yeah. It's like, oh, so here's some money with revenue sharing. Right. I can keep doing what I'm doing and making money. As long as the business model is making money.
And that's what they're doing.
I think some of the guys in this league don't care about winning or losing.
Football had a group of owners at a very good time back in the late 80s, early 90s, who said, football isn't doing well, because this is before you had all these TV deals.
Right.
And they said, we've got to do something different. And they came up with the cap and that model of football then. If football had what baseball has now, with all the TV and regional markets, football wouldn't have gone to salary cap.
Let me ask you a question. They have a cap. Baseball doesn't have a cap. Football seems to have fallen to, in my opinion, a very mediocre sport with a couple of good teams. But for the most part, it's a pretty mediocre product.
Yes.
Baseball, do you want to predict the World Series teams right now? You can. And probably going to be right.
Yeah.
Dodgers and?
Yeah. I mean, you can probably eliminate it and get it down to six teams that can actually win.
Yeah, but football, every other generation if, you have.
If you want to
for
talk,
a long time, it was the Patriots. Now it's the Chiefs. Before the,
all you have to do is look at the AFC quarterbacks last 25 years in the Super Bowl.
Exactly.
And it's like five guys.
Yeah. So it's almost the same way. I mean, baseball has the Dodgers. You don't know who's on the American League. Yeah, the Dodgers because they're outspending everybody. But American League, you don't know.
But the difference is, you, what you said is correct, Jerry. But you go to the quarterbacks and those, but the Super Bowl, you know, contestants pretty much every year. But other than Philadelphia, they're not big market. Boston's a big market.
Yeah.
But Tampa's not. They won a Super Bowl recently. Green Bay's not. They've been relevant. I mean, who else are you looking at? Kansas City's not a big market. Mm-hmm. And they've been dominant. So, I mean, the difference is it's not big, rich cities. It's people who've drafted well and found a piece of gold.
100%. And then look, I always think there should be a salary cap in sports because it eliminates it's like, all right, we're playing in a poker tournament. If you went into a poker tournament and somebody has more money than you, they can just bully you the entire time.
Pretty much.
If there's no limit to it, you know, like, and again, like some of these things that you see in Major League Baseball, there are, I don't even know why the Pittsburgh Pirates have a team. And I know there's some Pirates fans out there. Tell me the last free agent they've signed that they paid more than $10 million.
And that's what I mean, Jeremy. They don't want a salary cap. That's why you're never going to have – that's why Rob Manfred is saying what the Dodgers are doing is good for baseball because the Pirates don't want a cap. Because the Pirates don't want you telling
they
them
want that
they
cap.
Have to spend $90 million a year. Because if you get a cap, I'm thinking the floor is going to be about $90 million. 85 to 90 million. That's going to be a floor.
You know how people treat us with Gunnar Henderson? Like some of the fans are going, oh, he's not going to be here. I don't know why you guys keep saying that they're going to try to sign him. You can take what you're saying about that, and with new ownership, we don't know that, and point to the Pirates and say every good player they draft, they're not going to keep. They are a farm system for the rest of the league.
Tampa, too.
Yeah, I mean, but Tampa has a business model that they've perfected where the Pirates are like...
Yeah, well, Tampa's been effective. Yeah, that's true.
And it's... And again, but like Tampa's been effective until what happened? Until their best player was dating underage girls and got kicked out of the damn league. Yeah. So once that happened, now you lose your best player. How do you replace him when you're a small market team with not a lot of hitting talent?
World of Stupid at 8:45 with Jeremy Kahn. But on the other side, we're going to keep talking some baseball. Maybe even ask Ben McDonald a question of salary cap in baseball and how important it'll be. Ben McDonald joins us up next on The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties, buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties, buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, football,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
8:31 in the AM, Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Ed Norris, Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn joining us right now, courtesy of the Window Nation guest hotline. Big Ben, Ben McDonald. What's up, man?
Good morning. Good morning, guys. How we doing today?
Doing well, man.
We
doing
didn't
well.
Interrupt him hunting or anything, are we?
He's down there, man. Unfortunately, hunting season's over, but I always tell people, there's only two seasons for me anymore. There's hunting season, there's baseball season, and one of them rolls right into the other. So, hey, man, I'm down here in sunny Sarasota, and second day in camp for me, just kind of checking it all out, taking it all in. Man, it's an exciting time of the year.
I got to ask you a question, Ben, a conversation we were just having a little while ago. Rob Manfred said on Tuesday that the Dodgers spinning is good for baseball. Do you think baseball will ever have a salary cap?
Ooh, what a question, Rob. My gut tells me no, just because it's been talked about and tried and talked about over the course of time. Even back when I was playing, there was talks of it. And most people just feel like that it's not good for baseball. You know, and look, I get that piece of it. Like if I'm an owner and I have the resources, and I'm packing it, and I got a great TV contract, and I really want to win, why shouldn't I be able to invest what I want to invest into my business? You know, on the other side, I see the small market club saying, look, we can't ever have a $400 million payroll like the Dodgers are going to have or whatever it's going to be. Like, we can't compete with that. But the good thing about baseball, guys, is we know it's not like basketball and it's not like football. Just because you line up the best players and you spend the most money, it doesn't guarantee you anything when it comes to October. You know what I'm saying? Now, the Dodgers obviously won this past year, and they spent a lot of money, so it worked out for them this year. But we see small market clubs compete all the time in baseball because baseball is just a little bit different sport than the other major sports that are out there.
Ben, we're hearing a lot about Basayo. What's your take on him? I mean, he's so young, but every time we talk to somebody from spring training, they talk about him. I mean, what have you seen with this kid?
I know. Have we, you know, for a guy that has a 100% chance of not making the club out of spring training, he's the guy that everybody's talking about. And look, I get it. I mean, I got introduced to him last year, and I saw him hit last year. I saw him hit again in BP yesterday, and I had a chance to say hello to him. And he's a monster of a kid. Like, first of all, what grabs you, you don't realize how big he is. So you walk up on him, and he's 6'4", and he's 225, and he looks like a linebacker, you know. And then you watch him play, and the arm is an absolute cannon. When he gets into a ball, hits it further than anybody in camp that can hit it, you know, like it goes out of sight, you know. Now, and I'll say this, you know, when I saw him receive last year, and he was hurt a little bit last year, really couldn't perform and hit, but he could receive. I thought there was a ways to go on defense, like his framing ability, his blocking ability. But I tell you what, when I saw him work yesterday, he's made big improvements in that category, and he's a coachable kid from what I hear from everybody. They really, really liked his attitude. He works hard. He wants to be the best. And so, look, he's one of the top prospects in baseball for a reason. He's that good. But you got to remember, he's just 20, 21 years old, whatever he is. But look, we're going to be talking about him for a long time.
Hey, Ben, I want to get your take on a guy like Charlie Morton joining this club, because when they signed him, I was thinking about last year and following fantasy baseball and looking at numbers, and then you go, you know what, he's solid, he's giving up more hits, but he's always there, he always pitches. What can you say about a vet joining a team like this and how important it is? They had Burns last year, and now having Morton, I think it's an important piece.
I can only go back to my career, and early in my career when I was 22, 23 years old, Rick Sutcliffe came along, who, a lot like Charlie Morton, right? Sut had obviously had a lot of success, had 14 years in the big league, been around a long time. It really helped my career both on and off the field. I think Corbin Burns was like that for Grayson Rodriguez and Dean Kramer and others last year, and I think Charlie Morton will be more of the same this year. I think he's a veteran guy that I mean, go back. He revamped his career when he got to Houston. He wasn't afraid to change to make his stuff better, you know, to have more success at the big league level. And so I think there's a ton of things the younger pitchers can bounce off of Charlie, his routine, what he does, how he attacks hitters, what he sees when he sits. Well, you know, it's so valuable to sit next to a veteran pitcher when he's not pitching and I'm not pitching in a ball game. We can sit there and just watch the ball game, and we can talk about hitters. We can say, hey, you see how Soto was a little bit late? He was looking for off-speed pitch in this situation. Put that in your memory bank. Things like that really matter. Now, from a performance standpoint, look, yeah, you know, and Charlie said, look, I didn't have the year I wanted to have last year. I got more left in the tank than that. He wanted to come back and perform again. He's answered the bell, you know, for a while now. He gives you innings. He chews up innings. I think he's going to be a solid performer. I really do. I mean, the curveball's a pitch with him, but I think he brings a lot of value. I think he's going to chew up innings. And you know you need that in today's time where you don't wear out your bullpen. So I think Charlie's going to be a good fit for the Orioles in a lot of different ways.
I agree with you. Here with Ben McDonald joining us. He's live in Sarasota, Florida. Ben, not a lot of movement in the offseason, but Jeremy Kahn said something earlier today that kind of made me think about the movement and what they could have done. They're already one of the best rosters in baseball. How much, in your opinion, could they have added or could they have moved in the offseason?
Yeah, you know, Rob, I hear people say, well, the Orioles didn't do anything. Well, you know, look, I mean, when you talk about overall payroll, I think it's going to be 100 and what? Close to $160 million this year. I think it's the largest improvement out of any MLB team. They went up more than anybody did. So the Orioles did spend money. I think what got a bad taste in a lot of fans' mouth early, if you'll remember right when free agency started, the Orioles were linked, of course, to Blake Snell. They were linked, of course, to Corbin Burns. I think everybody was looking for the big, sexy pickup, right? I mean, just a real sexy kind of pickup. And that never transpired, and I think that's what got a bad taste. But, I mean, if you look at the additions, you know, picking up Kittredge late to me was very, very important for that bullpen. You know, obviously picking up Sagano and Charlie Morton really rounds off a solid top five. And I tell people all the time, like, well, we don't have a real ace. Well, listen, I would have loved to have Corbin Burns back. I think everybody would have loved to have Blake Snell. But I'll remind people, the Orioles didn't have a real number one 2 years ago when they won 101 games, okay? So it's not like that is you have to have one of those guys. It certainly helps to have one of those guys, but I think the biggest key for the Orioles this year is they got to stay healthy. Like this five, everybody talks about there's a lot of openings in camp. I just don't see it that way. I don't think there's hardly any openings in camp at anywhere, to be honest with you. I think the rotation is going to be Eflin, Rodriguez, Kramer, Sagano, and Morton in no particular order. I think that's what it is. It's penciled in, assuming there's no injuries. And I think the bullpen is very set, too, you know. And so barring some type of injury over there. Now, there'll be some surprises along the way. And there's some guys. Brian Baker looked. I saw Baker throw yesterday, guys. And I'm telling you what, he's already sitting. He was up there 97, 98 with just about every pitch and just went through some hitters like butter yesterday and some live stuff, you know. So there'll be some guys that will come along that will make some additions, you know, along the way. But I think this team is pretty well set. But I'm okay where this rotation is, to be honest with you. I just think it has to stay healthy.
Hey, Ben, since the Mets gave the middle finger to the Yankees and stole Soto, how much of an impact does that make on them in the division now?
You know, the Yankees did not get Soto. We know that. But they pivoted really, really well and went and picked up some dudes. You know what I'm saying? And so when you add the pitchers that they added, you know, you go get the closer over from Milwaukee. You know, you bring him in. Of course, you signed the kid. What was the kid they signed out of Atlanta? Your big free agent pick. Yeah, you get him. Yeah. And, you know, you go with that rotation. Garrett Cole, you know, and Rodon, and you start throwing those three in there, and then you got Luis Hill, might be the four or five guy who won Rookie of the Year last year. Yankees are going to be stout. Cody Bellinger, you know, comes over. So, look, the Yankees are going to be the Yankees, and there's no doubt about that. I mean, they're going to be a really good team. But here's the thing about the Orioles. The Orioles have knocked off the Yankees, I think, each of the last two or three seasons and won more games in head-to-head matchups than the Yankees. So, look, Boston got better. The Yankees got better. Tampa got better. Toronto got better. Everybody got better. So the AL East is going to be the AL East. I always say it's like playing in the SEC, right, in football and playing the SEC in baseball. Like, they ain't no off days. They ain't no off series. It's show me what you got every time you show up. So I look for the AL East to be as tight as ever this year. It's going to be a dogfight, but I think these Orioles are going to be right in the heart of it.
Hey, Ben, you brought up the SEC, and I actually want to go to college baseball here for a second. And I don't know if you've seen the player, if I'm just throwing it out there, the closer from Georgia. I don't know if anybody watched this, the way he was pitching. He does his leg kick, and then he looks like he's going to put his foot back on the ground, kicks it back up, and he's hitting 100 miles an hour. Like, how the hell is that possible?
I don't know. I saw that and I was like, oh my gosh, what do we have going on here? You know, I mean, but it's like, it's a hundy, dude. You know, it's like, it's ridiculous. I mean, look, the velos we talk about, I did an LSU game on Friday when college season opened, and the LSU pitching staff averaged 93.8. 16 guys threw over three games, and the average fastball was 93.8 in the college game, man. So, like, velos continue to go up. I mean, I always say whatever happens at the big league level typically trickles down to the college game, and velo is king, man, and we're chasing velo. We're chasing spin rates and shapes and all those kinds of things, and that's where we are in the college game. But, yeah, these boys are throwing the mess out of it in the college game. You'd be shocked if you watch it to see how hard some of these guys are actually throwing when you talk about 18- and 22-year-old kids.
Ben, I would tell you to enjoy yourself, but you're in Sarasota. You can't help it. You can't have a bad time if you wanted to.
Rob, I'm not complaining. I'm just going to be honest with you. I am not complaining. Get here early about 6:30 every morning and get a little workout in and put my 2 cents in when I'm asked to do that. And I'm just kind of getting to know the boys again and finding out how their off seasons went and what they changed and how they're going to get better. But I can tell you this, this is a good group. As you guys know, they're well-rounded. They love each other. You can tell the camaraderie is outstanding again. I think the new guys are going to fit in very well. So there's a really good vibe in this camp, I'm just going to tell you, from what I've seen in a couple of days.
Well, I'm going down there next month on the 9th. Going to spend about a week down there. I can't wait.
Come on, man. Come on. You ain't gonna be disappointed, Rob.
I know. Ben, looking forward to the season, man. I'll see you soon.
Take care, guys.
Thanks,
be
Ben.
Good.
Hey, Ben. Thanks a lot. 410-583-1057. That's a Southern thing. You know that, right?
What?
Y'all be good.
Yeah.
That's a Southern thing.
Jeet. J-E-E-T. Yeah.
So is bless your heart.
Did you?
That's calling you a. That's the biggest F you ever.
That's the Southern thing,
if
too.
If a woman says, oh, bless his heart, oh, she just F'd you off.
Yeah, absolutely. Bless your heart.
Jeremy, when they do steal, they give him one of these up.
Yeah. What's that supposed to mean?
Has Kevin Willard silenced the critics? I almost said Kevin Hart. We'll talk about that at 9 o'clock, but on the other side is the world of stupid.
Yeah, we're going to talk about a viral mugshot for the lady's beautiful, and I'll tell you what she did, but it's going around and the internet's talking about her. Also, what happens when 10 amateur fighters get into the octagon and face two professionals at the same
Romania?
Time?
Romania?
Yes.
Yes.
I want to talk about this because this is so ridiculous. And the most ridiculous thing today, Bonnie Blue, porn star that we've talked about that slept with 1,000 guys in one day. She's allegedly pregnant. How do we find the daddy? We talk about it next in the world.
Great mother she'll be.
All right, so we start with this fight. And Rob, I'm getting ready to start the video so you can see it. Let me know it started.
It started.
All right, so we got in Romania, this was 10 amateur fighters fighting two professional fighters in an octagon. And as Ed has pointed out, we have so many stupid, would you call them sports nowadays? Have you seen car jiu-jitsu?
Yes.
Where the two guys are seat-belted in and yeah, you just fight it. Each other. You can't get out of your seat. You just fight in the car. We have guys fighting in phone booths. I started watching this going, did these 10 guys not get together and say, us five go at this guy and us five go at that guy? Of course, if you go one by one, he's going to beat your asses. We did see a couple of guys get knocked out, but you see how stupid this is?
Yeah.
Like, why would anybody be a part of this? I watched...
That's crazy.
I watched a gigantic woman. I'm talking, she looked like she was 6'4", probably about 360, fighting a smaller girl that had a background in jiu-jitsu. I'm talking a girl that looked like she may have been 100 pounds.
Mm.
And the referee had to tell them to fight because the one girl was just running circles around her as the other one's lumbering here and there. And then finally, when she gets the bigger girl down, it's like, this is over with. She can't even get back up. Like, and I'm not trying to be rude, but like it is what it is. You're putting yourself out there to fight. You're going to be up for some criticism. I mean, I was asking Ed, because me and my friends used to have this argument, and I'm not trying to be mean, but we would ask, how many little people do you think you can take in a fight? At once, of course.
And you and Ed had that conversation.
Yeah, you didn't say anything.
At that time, I reminded Ed that once upon a time, he ran the state police, and now he's having a conversation with you about little people fighting.
I was just thinking, it's even worse than that.
Yeah.
Because I think about my life and how...
Oh, God.
I went to NYPD. I literally had 41,000 police officers under my command at that time. 41,000 in the biggest department in the country.
Where you're going right now is appropriate. It's the world's stupid.
Then, yeah. Then I run the Baltimore City Police Department. Do such a good job. They teach about it at a major business school, University of Virginia. Incredible job. Then I run the Maryland State Police. Then I get my life blown up by some scumbag prosecutor who has ambition in his head if he takes me down. He gets fired for doing this.
But you still end up with the
I still end up with the rest of my life in shambles. And he's practicing law. That's not the way it's supposed to work.
He's but practicing other than law, great.
Yeah. But, he never got this bar. He got fired. He didn't get this bar or anything.
But you get to work with me now.
Well, for that.
Yeah. You know,
so. It kind of makes up for everything.
There's more.
Well, it's like it's, you know, someone set your car on fire and then they buy you a cup of coffee. It's like, here you go. Thanks.
This world of stupid turned into the world of sad. Sad. This viral mugshot's going around. I want to be brief with this one so I can get to the headline story. But this woman's mugshot's going viral because she got arrested for going to her ex-boyfriend's house and filling his gas tank with pre-sucked Skittles and Coke Zero. And what? She is a hottie. So that's why her mugshot's going around. Good-looking girl. I think if you look long enough.
Pre-sucked Skittles? Why'd it have to be pre-sucked?
I don't know, but that's just what it was.
I don't suck Skittles. Don't you chew those?
No, sometimes you...
What?
Anyway, no, I'm not doing
Say
this.
It.
I'm not saying anything.
Come on.
Because I've already got stuff
isolated.
I got
isolated. Joe, right? He's got the bullseye on your head right
he
now.
He better not have the one from yesterday with the men. So I don't need that. And speaking of that, we go to Bonnie Blue, which this has to be one of the Ooh. More hilarious things. Everybody, apparently. Bonnie Blue. she needed the money. No, sorry. That's the old, anyway. Little boy Blue.
Yeah. Why?
Anyway, who is Bonnie Blue? She's an OnlyFans star that you may remember the story. She had sex with 1,000 men in one day. So yesterday she tweeted out a picture of chicken nuggets, pickles covered in chocolate and sprinkles and ramen noodles. And she said, oh my God, cravings. Hashtag. This girl, how Fraggle. Do you find out who the dad is? You got to test everyone?
Yeah.
You got to bring all 1,000 back?
Maybe you're lucky.
Huh?
Maybe you're lucky on the 79th guy or something.
No, the 790th guy. Like, it's so disgusting, man. Her actual name is Tia Billinger. She posted a picture again with all that stuff she was eating, the infamous adult video creator.
What?
All this stuff, like chicken nuggets, dry noodles, chocolate sauce on her pickles.
With everything.
Everybody puts chocolate sauce on their pickle. Sometimes Rob lets me eat his pickle. Many hurried to X to speculate.
Joe, please. Just grab that one.
That the star might be expecting and wondering who the father, whose father would be given a boastful claim having slept with 1,000 guys.
I got a question. When did she sleep with 1,000 guys?
When? The date? Was this
approximately,
year?
Yeah. So why does she look like she's 6 months pregnant?
I don't know.
Maybe she was already.
Did all those guys sleep with her while she was pregnant?
I mean, poor kid.
She's got a big belly, baby bump here.
Yeah.
Poor kid.
What in the hell? I mean, this is just some nonsensical.
I thought she was a nice girl. I don't trust her now.
Yeah. Now? I want to meet her dad.
Because she's
Never
pregnant.
Mind. He's not
no,
alive.
No, because I think she may be fibbing here.
You don't think she slept with all those guys?
Well, I think she may have, but, you know.
You don't think she's pregnant?
I don't know what to think anymore. It's like, you know, if she's pregnant for 6 weeks, she shouldn't look like this.
That's your world of stupid. What
Thank
a
you very
dumbass
much.
Story.
Maybe those guys go in the category of men who like to have sex with pregnant women. Yeah.
You guys.
Jeremy Carr's Daily Line at 9:30.
Pregnant women? The hell
Man,
is going on?
They're not really putting a camera in this studio.
It's a different one.
I can't wait it's for them to put it. They need to see you guys. It's
Jeremy.
Disgusting. Individuals.
I'm not going to try. Daily Line at 9:30 with Jeremy Carr.
I don't
on the
even
other
want
side.
Rob's pickle on it. The dumbest thing is Rob, when he orders food, he always offers me his pickle, and it's most it turns into the most homoerotic thing ever.
As Kevin Willett silences critics, at least he can, I hope he can silence Jeremy Kahn. Merle Basketball up next to the Fan.